there. Facebook Live, YouTube recording, podcast audio. Get all that gosh darn stuff going. Trigger to the Martha Fracken warning. We don't play the extended one as much as we used to. And maybe that's a little slacky on my end.
This show is fucked up. Father Teresa's Wine Cellar is rated R for keeping it real.
It truly fucking is. And it is November 6th, 2018, morning wine cellar. The day for me to get my arse up, go toss a ballot here and there.
It's a chance to do good for us boys in the hood. Just call us NWA, Neighbors with Appetizers.
Yeah, we truly fucking are, and we're not very patient either.
I'll give you until I finish me cuppa, and I'm fucking thirsty.
All right. All right, so going on over here, taking a look at this story off of DallasNews.com. One of the homie locos over there on the Twitter tagged us in it on the Twitter deal, and I was like, oh Jesus fucking Christ. And this is the Dallas Morning News, powered by the Dallas Morning News, and it's DallasNews.com. And Dallas jailers ordered a transgender woman to show her genitals, a lawsuit says. And Jennifer Emily is the author of this article. Says a transgender woman has filed a federal lawsuit against Dallas County, alleging her jailers ordered her to show her her genitalia to them so they could determine her sex. Valerie Jackson, a 32-year-old individual, had been arrested in November 2016 after she left a gun in her purse when she went through security at Dallas Love Field. That is very Texas. Like, the transgender homies out there strapped. That is very Texas. Everybody's strapped in Texas. A grand jury has since declined to indict her on the weapons charge. Her lawsuit filed Friday alleges that she was harassed and humiliated at the jail and that her constitutional rights were violated. The Dallas County, they placed her in danger by housing her with men, the lawsuit says. Jackson was assigned male at birth. Assigned male at birth. Because I know I read like comment threads and posts by some of the trans homies, and I think that's that acronym AMAB, assigned male at birth. Yeah. Okay. Alright, we're getting somewhere. Alright, so legally changed her gender to female and is identified in court records as a woman. Ms. Jackson has suffered trauma, felt demoralized, anxious, stressed, and a loss of dignity and fear, the lawsuit says. A spokesman for Dallas County Sheriff Marion Brown, who is named in the lawsuit, said the sheriff would not comment. A quote from this spokesman, Raul Reyna, said, sorry, but since it is in litigation under advice of attorney, the sheriff's department does not comment on lawsuits, end quote. The lawsuit says the county violated the Federal Prison Rape Elimination Act, which says that jails, quote, shall not search or physically examine a transgender or intersex detainee for the sole purpose of determining the detainee's genital status, end quote. the county's policy for housing transgender inmates requires that a decision be made after medical, psychological, and medication needs are assessed. Instead, the suit states a county employee told Jackson she needed to show her genitals because if she had a penis, she needed to be housed with men. This is a quote from an officer in the jail. We need to follow if you, if we need to know if you've had a sex change or not. We need to see if you have a penis or a vagina. We have to protect you. We can't put you with man if you have a vagina. End quote. And that is an unnamed staff member. Jackson was subsequently arrested twice on misdemeanor charges of trespassing and interfering with an emergency call. She was housed with men in the county jail and was required to shower with them. Both times, according to the lawsuit, a male inmate masturbated while he looked at her in the shower. Those misdemeanor cases are still pending. That's, I wonder if, I'm pretty sure, somebody that knows legalese, is menacing like the name of a crime? That's menacing, right? Like, that's, I think that's menacing. I think that's threatening, quite frank. That's menacing and threatening. Among the defendants included in the lawsuit is the Democratic gubernatorial candidate Lupe Valdez, who was the Dallas County Sheriff when Jackson was in jail the first time. Several named and unnamed county employees are also included in the suit. The lawsuit filed by Jackson's attorney, Scott Palmer, asked for unspecified damages for emotional distress, torment, and mental anguish. End quote. Financial expenses and attorney fees, Jackson requested a jury trial. Dallas County has failed to properly train and supervise jail staff to treat transgender inmates humanely, such that jail staff refer to transgender inmates by the proper gender pronouns, just simply being fucking polite, refer to transgender inmates' genitals and private body parts in offensive manners, alert and announce the fact that transgender inmates are transgender to other inmates and jail staff, they force transgender inmates to expose their genitals for the purpose of determining their gender, and place transgender inmates based solely on genital characteristics rather than gender identity, the lawsuit says. All right. On November 4th, 2016, 2 years ago, Jackson left a .22 caliber black Walther P-22 semi-automatic handgun. P-22. I think I heard that in an X-rated song. West Coast rapper recently out of prison. P-22 semi-automatic handgun in her purse when she went through security at Love Field. A baseball game or something like that. According to an arrest warrant affidavit, she was arrested on a charge of possessing a prohibited weapon and taken to the Dallas County Jail. Guns are not allowed in carry-on luggage. Carry-on... Wait, so is this like a airport or some shit? Jackson also did not have a concealed handgun license, according to court records. A Dallas County grand jury no-billed her on the weapons charge in February 2017. No bill. That must have been like, hey, you a'ight this time. Well, that was, I mean, like, it gave you a fucking warning. The jailers initially classified Jackson as a woman. She was taken to an enclosed area and asked to expose her breasts, which she did, according to the lawsuit. I want to know if that was a man that asked her to do that, and how often is this, like, what the fuck is, all right, you know what's happening? Transphobia is happening. Transphobia, misogyny, transmisogyny, that's what's happening. I'm sitting here acting like I'm confused. Nigga, I know what the fuck is going on. Then a nurse asked her about her last menstrual cycle. Jackson said she does not have a period because she does not have a uterus, and eventually that she is transgender. An unknown Dallas County male employee had a look of shock on his face and asked why her paperwork says female on it. This motherfucker's like, actually don't even know that this shit could, like, Jesus Christ. Like, the homie down south of Illinois got the paperwork. God damn. Jackson responded that she is female. The unknown male employee asked, quote, did you have a sex change or something? End quote. Jackson said she had. Have you had everything... quote, have you had everything done down there? End quote from the man. Then Jackson hesitantly and falsely told them she had because she wanted this unnecessary humiliating harassment to end. Jackson was then asked to pull down her pants and underwear by two other county employees, according to the lawsuit. After trying to avoid exposing her genitals, Jackson eventually did so. The county employee told Jackson, you're doing with the man because that's what you are. Oh, they have a typo in the article. You're going with the man because that's what you are. You're a man, end quote, the suit says. Inside the jail, male inmates asked Jackson if she was a, quote, tranny. They use that term. Or a, quote, real girl, telling her all the sexual things they wanted to do to her, grabbing themselves, calling her a he, she, and calling her many other derogatory words, according to the lawsuit. At one point, a male officer tried to take Jackson to a solitary cell in the women's section of the jail, but another county employee ordered him to take her to the men's holding area, where she was held alone in a cell, but next to a cell with a man. During court, Miss Jackson was referred to as Mr. Jackson by the male bailiff and was required to sit with the males, the lawsuit says. Miss Jackson was humiliated every time she encountered a new officer. Each time they would see her and reference her as a woman, only to be told by whichever officer was escorting her in front of everyone that she was a man. The lawsuit says she was then taken to the men's locker room and told to strip and shower by a male officer. So not even any choice there. She asked to skip the shower because she would soon be posting bond. Her attorney was sending the money electronically. Now, Pete, again, the fuck I've been telling people to say on this fucking program, call them sadists. What he's doing is sadistic. It fits. Again, go do a Yahoo search. Look to make yourself comfortable with saying it. Go do a fucking Yahoo search. Go Bing. Ask that nigga Jeeves, what's the definition of the term sadist? Look at the definition. Then come back to stories like this and say, oh, that's what we call this people. People hear that word and they think like, what, like devil worshipper? Like, hardcore rock and roll music? Huh? Sadist? What the hell is that? That's Satan, right? No. Sadist is white supremacy. Sadist is misogyny. Sadist is trans misogyny. Sadist is trans misogynor. Sadist is misogynor. Sadist is rape culture. That's sadism. Everything that's normal, regular, so-called polite society is sadistic. Continuing with the fucking story, quote from the lawsuit, two male officers that were present ignoring her pleas, end quote, the lawsuit says, a female officer said she would check to see whether Jackson's bond was posted and then took her out of the locker room, telling Jackson she had dodged a bullet. So somebody came in, swooped in, and was like, gotta get you out this shit. But that other guard, that motherfucker wanted to see a rape or a beating to death. Jackson was then placed in another holding cell while she waited for the paperwork, the suit says. As she waited, she was given a replacement wristband that showed her genital as male. Jackson was also arrested in April and June, court records show. Both times, according to the lawsuit, she was housed with male inmates and harassed. On both occasions, she was required to shower with men, and a man masturbated as he stared at her, the lawsuit says. An acquaintance of Jackson's called the police fellers because Jackson was acting erratically, as they that's their claim, in a Dealey Plaza on the afternoon of April 17th, according to court records. She then entered a downtown Dallas apartment by climbing onto a balcony on the 17th floor and entering through an unlocked door. She left through the front door. There are photos of Jackson entering the apartment, court records show. She was detained by the police without a warrant because of her mental state and taken to Parkland Memorial Hospital. Well, get this nigga some help. Like, Jesus Christ, she's a trans woman in the normal world. Maybe some, like, get her a group, you know, of goddamn. That's why we need activists, niggas like Maddie Stump, to get more exposure and, you know, spread out what they're trying to do out this motherfucking, reach this nigga. Like, we don't know what the fuck is happening to her, what's going through with it, with this nigga, man. the lawsuit says she was jailed and housed in the psychiatric unit, quote, due to being deemed suicidal as a result of continuous harassment she was experiencing. End quote. Well, go to the fuckers that are harassing them and fucking stop them. Aren't you an authority? Protect and serve my ass. Miss Jackson was the only woman in the psychiatric unit with all of the male inmates. Oh yeah, that's gonna help a nigga's mental state. Because Jackson was considered to be a danger to herself. She was not allowed clothing and was given a thin paper suit to wear. Sadistic. Then on June 18th, Jackson was jailed on a misdemeanor charge of interfering with an emergency call when she and another woman had an argument over the dosage of a friend's medication. Court records show that Jackson took the woman's telephone when she was trying to call 911. And grabbed her right forearm, offending her, according to the arrest warrant affidavit. Jackson grabbed the cell phone from her hand while she was speaking to Dallas 911. Oh, that's why they're saying interfering with a 911 call. Arrested on the warrant for a criminal trespass case of the April incident. And again, housed in the psychiatric unit. But was allowed to wear clothes this time. Hey! And see, now watch this. You look, go look to the future. We're going to look back. Somebody from that's my age now is going to be like 60 years old in the future and say, well, we treated them transgenderals pretty darn good back in the old day. I think it was all right. Gave them nice paper suits and whatnot. Good showers and everything. You watch. They'll say that. And no trial date is pending for either case. And one more before I get ready to get the holy heck darn out of here. This is on crosscut.com. Shout out to the homie Emily Loco. Posted up on the joint. Let me see. Emily Loco left a comment on the Facebooks. Oh, yeah. Emily Loco said sadistic is the right word. How is... How is that doing anything other than basically inviting humiliation and sexual assault? Hell, beyond inviting, that's trying to make it happen. That's an attempt. That's a blatant attempt. You know, and far as I'm concerned, somebody that attempts to do something that's harmful to another person, under Emperor William, to me, that's the same thing as doing it, because whether you succeeded or not, you still had it in your head that that's the thing to do. So knowing that that's the person you are, that you think that's the thing to do, other Emperor William, people who have heard the program over the past 2 years, we know how we handle sadists. Yeah, in the fantasy world, but that will never happen. So this is off of crosscut.com. Let's see. The author is David Croman, and the article is from November 1st, a couple days ago. It says, and we won't do the whole thing. This is a sex worker's rights story. It says it started with an ad on the website Backpage. Says Barbie's Dollhouse Massage and Spa Grand Opening, posted on June 2017. The notice made no mention of sex, but there were clues that indicated something more than a massage was being offered. Let me see. Where's this going? It's weird how this nigga David is writing this. I didn't get a whole lot of show prep time on this. But, so the ad posted to the site that knowingly allowed users to advertise sex work. David used the word prostitution. It was not really for a newly opened brothel either. It was rather the bait in a police sting. Ah. So, okay, so they put up this ad, but it's a police sting deal. The second in as many years from the Seattle Police Department, the first known as the Euro Spa Operation. So it's like they're saying, come on down here. Come on, get you some white women. Come on. And and it ended in the arrest of 200 men in 2016. And Barbie's Dollhouse would be round two. That's what they call this spa. These stings fit into the city's broader strategy for targeting prostitution. One focused not on those selling sex, but on the people buying it. The in-demand approach has been embraced by the city as a progressive alternative to the old law. Progressive. Yes. Take clients away from sex workers, because that's how they'll get their bills paid. Hey! All right, yeah, good ideas, good ideas. and this approach, it's embraced as a progressive alternative to the old law and order days, a way to stamp out prostitution without penalizing the sex workers in the trade. It's been championed by City Attorney Pete Holmes, who I never hear Pete Holmes' name in good news. Pete Holmes, who first began considering the new approach following a trip to Boston for a conference in 2012, and the King County prosecutor Dan Satterberg, who has even accepted money from an organization that explicitly promotes this model. You probably heard Phoenix Kalita talk about these folks. But not everyone is convinced that the new approach is working or all that progressive. As the Barbie's Dollhouse cases have begun to move through the city's court system, defense attorneys are frustrated that the city is repeating what they view as a sloppy operation. Almost every case that was not a guilty plea in the past Euro operation was dismissed by either the judge or jury, and the one guilty verdict that resulted from the sting was overturned on appeal. The critics doubt this second round will be different. At the same time, some sex workers argue the operations are misguided, criminalizing what they consider a safer form of prostitution while letting actual human traffickers off the hook. As a part of a shift toward the Nordic model approach to sex work. The Seattle Police Department has largely stopped targeting sex workers for arrest. Largely, not completely. Officers with the department's vice unit often run undercover operations on the street, up and down Aurora Avenue, for example. Both men seeking sex and women selling services. I'm kind of editing his article verbally as I read it. But when the police fellers pick up sex workers, instead of taking them to jail, the undercover officer drives to an RV or some other outpost where they are offered counseling and advice from members of organizations for prostitution survivors, or a support organization made up of former sex workers. So they're not like, hey, here we have another job that is the same hours and the same pay, and we have on the job training. We're going to get you 8 weeks training on this new job. It's going to, and you know, it'll get a straight check. You're going to get taxes taken out. You'll get a tax return at the end of the year. Nah, we're just going to come talk to you and try to tell you that you shouldn't do this thing that pays your bills. Just bad. Don't do. But the buyers, on the other hand, are quickly arrested. While the vice unit may pick up a handful of sex buyers, or Johns, by camping out along Aurora Avenue, the number of these arrests have been nothing compared to the draw of the faux massage parlors. Quote, we never anticipated this volume, end quote, from Sergeant Tom Umporowicz. What a fuck, that's a hell of a name. All right, now, that operation resulted in 204 arrests and received widespread media attention but 1 year later, before many of the Euro Spa cases had been resolved in court, the Barbie's Dollhouse operation was launched. The men who answered the ad on Backpage were directed to a nondescript building near the Aurora Avenue Home Depot in North Seattle. Upon entering, they would meet one of several undercover officers posing as a sex worker. The officer would ask the man if he wanted to hear about their specials, hand job, blow job, or full sex. The two parties would agree. The man would hand over the money. The officer would give a signal to the arrest team, hiding in an adjacent room. In all 84 cases were charged by the city attorney's office, most of which involved would-be buyers seeking a half-hour massage with a hand job, the cost of $60. All right. And I'm going to go ahead and link this in the full post, but I got to get the heck out of here and go down to the factory and see what the fuck is happening in my machine room. All right. Hold it down. Hold us down. Right. PayPal.me/Phoenix and William. Patreon.com/Wine Cellar Media Fund. And oh, that's right. I have to go cast a ballot after work today. We know where our polling place is. New polling place, because we recently moved out here to Elgin, Illinois. So, new polling place. See what's going on here. I hope one of these Proud Boy motherfuckers doesn't fuck with me, because I will go 1997 on your ass, son. Don't do it. Don't do it. All right. All right. Again, PayPal.me/Phoenix and William. Patreon.com/Wine Cellar Media Fund. That's how we're going to replace my 14-year-old microphone. Please be as safe as possible wherever you are. Peace to Emily Loco, posted up in the joint. Ooh, click and finish on the Facebook Live. There that goes. All right. And click stop on the old YouTube recording there. Whoopsie days. And podcast audio. You got to get the heck out of here too. Come on.